In our last lesson, we were looking at the man and his role as a husband in the family. And this morning, we're going to concentrate more on the man as a father in the family. And just by way of review a little bit, when we look at the man or the woman or the children, those are the three elements of the family. In each one of those, you want to look for three things. What position do they have in the family unit? What is their position? Number two, what is their responsibility? And number three, what attitudes are they to have as they carry out their position and their responsibility? You'll find those in all three things. And so last time, with regard to the man as a husband, we found that he is the head of the wife, Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. That's his position. With regard to responsibilities, we looked at four different areas. The spiritual, in order both of them to lead her and be together in going to God, going to heaven. Spiritual responsibilities, learning God's word, being a faithful Christian, so forth. Then there were physical responsibilities to work and the sexual fulfillment and other things listed there. Then we looked at emotional responsibilities to be unified with her. And then we looked at social responsibilities to do things together, live joyfully together, and so forth. So we looked at that. And then finally, the attitude. His attitude, love her as Christ loved the church, a sacrificial attitude and so forth. And there were other things listed there. So think, men, think of ourselves as three things. We have a position, we have responsibilities, we have an attitude while we're carrying out that position and those responsibilities. There's a lot there. And like I said, hopefully I can have this listed for each of us. And I think it would be good for us to keep it posted somewhere nearby and periodically look and see if there's some area that we can you know, beef ourselves up, beef it up a little bit, do better at, that type of thing. Now, that was with regard to the man being a husband. What about the man as a father? We want to kind of focus a little bit on that this morning. And so we're going to go down through the same things. We're going to look at his responsibilities and his attitude. Of course, his headship involves not only the wife, but also being a leader with regard to the children, so his role is the same as the head. But we want to focus a little bit more this morning on the man as a father. We have a few things in our workbook on page 26, Roman numeral 3, that we want to wrap up. And so let's do that as we begin this morning. Matthew, we'll start with you and work our way forward. Genesis 2:18 there, letter A, Roman numeral 3. Right, so God, the woman is created as a help meet, not M-E-A-T, the kind of meat that you eat. This is M-E-E-T, suitable, comparable to, a companion. Okay, so the woman is created from the man. Sean, number one. Okay, so one man and then one woman, not two men, not two women, one man, one woman created for each other. Brittany Ditton, number three. Right, so singular, not polygamy, but one and one, not homosexuality. Okay, letter C, number one, Tammy. Right, and we talked about this as one of the responsibilities. This is a sacrificial, serving love. Brandon, number two. Okay, this is involving the sexual relationship. In 1 Corinthians 7, each one is to give their body to the other. And we studied that last time under the physical responsibilities. Okay, Mike Evans, number three. Okay, so the weaker vessel there is not talking about weaker mentally or weaker physically. It's talking about a weaker vessel being the like the piece of china, that which is valued. And so treat her with courtesy, value, and that in honor, as 1 Peter 3 mentions. Okay. So wrapping up some things there, and we talked about those in our last class period, some responsibilities of the husband toward the wife. Now today we're going to focus more on the man as a father. Patricia, number one, under Roman numeral 4, B, number one, please.
That takes more than just being a male parent to be a father. It must be bound, faithful.
Right, a steward must be found faithful. The word there means trustworthy. And so any person who has been given a stewardship, that means somebody has placed in your care something that belongs to them. A steward in the New Testament was a master had some belongings and he placed that in the care of a steward and he was to be trustworthy with those belongings. God has placed our children in our care. He's a heritage. Children are a heritage from Him. Psalm 127:3. He gives them to us. And so it's as if we are stewards and we have to give an account in the judgment day of how we've taken care of our children that He has given to us. So we have to be trustworthy in that matter. And the author mentions there about being too busy with other things, we've got to be careful. We certainly have responsibilities with work and things like that, but we can't be so busy with other things that we neglect our children. Okay, under letter C, number one, Mike Carter, please. Okay. One of the things that we're going to look at this morning with regard to responsibility is correction. And the rod there mentioning spanking or corporal punishment. And we'll be talking about that later. Shonda, number two, please. Okay. And Brittany Carter, number three. Okay. Nurture, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And number four, Rachel. Right. And we'll talk about how that can be done in just a moment. So one of the roles of the father is training and discipline. And then our author mentions the idea of being a good example. They're going to follow our example one way or the other. We have the expression like father, like son. We can either be a good example to them or a poor example to them. And so we need to be very mindful of that. He mentioned something kind of interesting there in the conclusion, Genesis 42:22. This, if I remember correctly, is Reuben's statement. When Joseph's brothers are looking back on the fact that they had thrown him in the pit and sold him into Egypt, and they're talking about that later in Genesis 42. Reuben says, "Did not I tell you not to sin against the child?" Well, what did they do? Well, they mistreated their brother. And so it's sinning against the child. And it's something that we need to think about as parents. When we don't raise them right and mistreat them in some way, it's as if we're sinning against the child. And something very important for us as parents to think about. Okay, let's look this morning at the matter of the father in the home. And let's begin again with those responsibilities. Let's start this morning with spiritual responsibilities. First of all, the father has a responsibility to teach their children God's word. This is not a primary responsibility of the church. Somebody says, well, I just take them to church for that. Well, we do teach and we do learn here, but it's not the church's primary responsibility to teach our children. It's not school, it's not government, it's not the church. It's our responsibility as fathers. Well, I'll let mom do that. That's kind of her thing. No, fathers, us, okay? So we have to do that. In Genesis 18:19, Abraham commanded his children God's word. In Deuteronomy 6, they were in the home to raise their children on God's word. In Psalm 78, they were to teach their children God's word. In Proverbs, Solomon says, hear my son, hear my words, hear my commandments. And there are several Proverbs there talking about hearing the commandments of the father and the law of the mother. Taking God's word and passing that on to the children. That's our responsibility. Okay? We can't just say, well, they'll get that at church. We hope that when we come to the assembly that they will be getting God's word. But it's our responsibility in the home, okay? We need to lead them to serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to make decisions as fathers. We're going to go to services. We're going to get our Bible lesson. We're going to do spiritual things. We're going to serve the Lord. We've got to man up and step up and say, this is what we're going to do. The lack of that is what leads homes to be unspiritual. And we're sowing seeds of unbelief when we, as a man, we don't lead with regard to church services, with regard to Bible classes, with regard to prayer at home and other places, with regard to any spiritual thing. We're sowing little seeds of unbelief. And so when they grow up later, they may not be a faithful Christian because we've been sowing those little seeds of unbelief all along through our lack of leadership. We're going to serve the Lord, and we need to be strong about that, especially in our society today. Okay, turn with me to Ephesians 6:4. Let's look at three words here that are mentioned in the text. Certainly, mothers have a role, and we'll be talking about that in our next lesson, but we're focusing on the fathers this morning, and notice how that they are singled out in Ephesians 6 verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. We'll talk about that later in the lesson this morning. But nurture them. The word means to bring up, to raise up, to bring up. It starts early in life when they're born and you're bringing them up. In the chastening and admonition of the Lord. And of course, the English versions use a little bit different words there. The first one means literally child training. It's a word where the first part of the word means child. The Greek word paideia. Child training is literally what it means. And so chastening is child training or child rearing. Admonition means to warn by putting someone in remembrance or by putting them to mind as to what God's word says. And so there's warning, there's teaching, there's child raising, and we're bringing them up. Now look at what that is talking about. Is that talking about, well, I just got to make sure they have clothes and food? No, that's the physical end of it. This is the spiritual end of it. And as fathers, we have to be taking that responsibility. What does that take? Well, it takes time. I've got to be around. I've got to take time. It takes talking. You actually have to talk to them. You have to teach them. You have to be in the driver's seat. Well, I'm going to let my wife do that. No, that's sloughing off our responsibility to someone else. Our wife helps us, but it's our responsibility. Okay? And we need to be doing that. Jesus, with Joseph and Mary, he was raised in wisdom, learning, stature, that's physical growth, and in favor with God and men. There are different things that children need other than just food and clothing and shelter. And fathers, they need teaching and training, warning, bringing up, not just physically, but bringing them up in their spirituality, their character, their personality, who they're going to be in the sight of God. That's for fathers. So there's a spiritual responsibility. Let's continue to look at a few other things. They need to lead them to do the Lord's work. In Nehemiah chapter 3, Shalom and his daughters worked on the wall. We've got to take our children to do the Lord's work. Visiting, calling, coming up here to the building to do something. Doing something with regard to the Lord's work. We need to be involving them. I remember when I was young, my parents, we'd have to get in the car and go with them to do a hospital visit. Sherry had to do that with her parents. Involve them in the Lord's work. How do they learn to do the Lord's work unless we don't involve them in that? The household of Stephanus and his household, he led them to go serve the brethren. They had to do some things to take care of the brethren. Okay, get them involved in the Lord's work, in and around the building, in and out of the service, on Sundays and other days. Involve them. That's how they learn to do that. Okay, set the right example for them. And we talked about that in our lesson book there toward the end. We can either, if you turn over to 1 Kings 22:43, you've got Jehoshaphat and the other king mentioned there. One followed his father to do good. The other followed his father to do evil. It's up to us to set the right example, and our children will be following that one way or the other. In Deuteronomy 18:19, the text says that he will command his children after him. They're gonna be following after him in his example. 1 Peter 1:18, the vain manner of life handed down from our fathers, it can be vain and empty and unrighteous. Or 1 John 2, I've written unto you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. A strong father who really knows the Lord. Okay? And then turn over to 1 Chronicles 29. Do we pray for our children? Do we pray for our children, fathers? Are we praying for them? You know, we pray for food and sit down at a meal and pray. We pray for other things. It seems like the older I get, the more my prayers are, I just want my kids to be safe and I want them to go to heaven, you know. And I find myself praying more and more about that. I just want them to be safe and I want them to go to heaven. But we've got to pray for our children. David prayed for his son Solomon that he would grow up and not depart from God's word. So we need to be praying for our children. It's a part of our responsibility, okay? One last thing. We need to remember that God gives our children to us. And we have to, as a steward, we have to give him back. Do you remember Hannah and Elkanah in 1 Samuel chapter 1? What did Hannah say that if God would give her a child, what did she promise to do? Anybody? I'll give him back to the Lord all the days of his life. God gives us our children. We need to be leading them in such a way that we're going to give them back to him in service. They are a heritage from the Lord. We would not have them without him. Okay? Anything else on the spiritual responsibilities? Anything you'd like to add to that? Okay? Let's look at our physical responsibilities, fathers. What physical responsibilities do we have? Paul says that the parents lay up for the children. The children don't lay up for the parents. The parents lay up for the children. It's talking about giving them an inheritance, giving something that we can pass on to them. Now, a lot of these inheritance passages are physical inheritance. When we get older, we pass on an inheritance, whether it's money, a house, something along those lines. It's part of our taking care of them. In Proverbs, these inheritances are probably physical in nature. So it's something to think about. We're going to live in such a way that, you know, when I get older, I just want to be able to give my kids something that will help them in life. And that's a very good thing. A lot of times when people get older, you know, they get very selfish. And it's just me all the way up until the day that I die. But the Bible talks about how that we're going to be organized and saving and caring and that type of thing. And then we can pass that on to our children and help them get through life. I've been wanting to do a lesson on this, so I won't go into it in detail. But one thing we need to be laying up for our children is a spiritual inheritance. And I can do that lesson sometime. But moving on, we need to work to provide for them. Of course, we work outside the home. We need to work hard. Now, our work doesn't need to take precedence over the family. It doesn't need to take precedence over God. But we don't need to be lazy. We don't need to be a slouch and a sluggard. In Proverbs 6, a sluggard. We need to work. And we're supposed to work by the sweat of our brow. If any will not work, neither let him eat. And that's the problem that we have a lot in our country today. So, get up, work, provide for your own, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. I believe we need to physically protect our families. We need to be there to watch over them. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 4, the men were told to do that. So we have physical responsibilities. Okay. Anything along those lines? Men, got to speak up. Fathers, anything that I've mentioned so far that that you would like to add to? Of course, we set a good example for our children in working hard, but we need to be careful. I think one of the biggest problems today among some, maybe some in the church, would not be laziness. It's the other extreme. They're working so much that they don't take time for God to come worship, or they don't take time for their children. So it's actually sort of the other extreme where they're working too much.
Well, along with that, you've got over-providing things that are not just like materials and stuff.
Right. We have to be mature and wise. Look at the first two responsibilities. The first one was spiritual in nature. The second one was physical in nature. And we have to be balanced. We can't be so unbalanced that we're so concerned about providing for them physically that we don't take care of their spiritual needs. I want to make sure they have the latest gadgets and the latest clothes and the nicest car. And I just want to make sure that I shower them with all this money and things. And, well, what about their spiritual side? We have an inner man and an outward man. Both of those have to be taken care of. Okay, so it takes maturity and faithfulness to not get out of balance in those areas. That's a good observation. Anything else?
Parents give to kids. They have to be mature. And they have to act like parents.
Right. I saw an article once. It was titled, Children Having Children. Children Having Children. And what's happening is we're marrying too early, or we're having children too early, and we're still kids ourselves. We're immature. We're not responsible, and it's just children having children. And it just causes problems.
The biggest problem with that is they haven't had time to learn how to raise a child.
Right.
And it takes more than just setting a child up. It takes more to teach them, hey, you know, this is the way that you go.
Right.
And if you don't have the experience,
right.
Child.
Barring any physical problems in having children, and some women and men have, there's physical issues where they can't have children. Barring any of that, it's relatively easy to have a child, right? Physically, you just not a lot of work there. But what about raising them? That takes a lot of mental and spiritual work and effort. I think what happens is people get old enough physically to get married and physically to have children, but mentally they're not mature enough. And so we're trying to go through this material to teach us that there's a mental component to all of this where we have to be mature enough mentally. Let's not be a child, you know, getting married. Let's not be a child having children. Good thoughts. Anything else on that? Yeah, when we're young, everything is, you know, it's kind of like a fairy tale type of thing. And we're getting into this and it's fun and neat and all of that. And many are not looking for the long haul. They're not looking for the until death do us part. It's just sort of a kind of a fun thing on the front end. And then again, we have problems set in. David.
If you look at our society today, I don't know. Single parent household, that they're not getting, you know, that there's not God's plan involved in any of it. So the religious end of it is not there to provide for the children.
And we can say, well, my child will be fine because they're just going to be looking at me the whole time. You know, I'm the religious one. Well, they look at the other one too. And they're going to be torn in two different directions. So we need to have a strong spiritual and religious component to the marriage, both from the husband and the wife. Okay, let's look at another responsibility. Thank you for those comments. Let's look at a third one. The first one was spiritual, the second one was physical, and now let's look at our corrective responsibility. When the child needs correction, children do not come prepackaged where they're prepackaged to do right or prepackaged to do wrong. We guide them in those areas, and when they're going in the wrong way, we have to correct that. We have to change the course. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We won't be going down through all of these. We'll just look at maybe the first two, but we have to teach them verbally, and then when they do not respond to that, we have to change that. We would call that corporal punishment, spanking. The Proverbs call it the rod. That's a part of fathers doing that. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth, for whom Jehovah reproveth, for whom Jehovah loveth, he reproveth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. As fathers, we have to reprove. That's through words, changing behavior. This is not right, you see. And then look at chapter 13 with me. And I actually have an entire lesson on these spanking passages that we will be going over. But look at Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He that spareth his rod, that is, he holds it back, he doesn't use it, I'm not going to do it. He that spareth his rod actually hates his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him diligently. The old English word betimes means get up early and do it diligently. So we have a corrective responsibility. And what we're doing is we're trying to cause them to obey. We're all familiar with Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents. But stop and think about that for just a minute. Do they come into this world prepackaged to where every time mom and dad tells me something, I obey it? No, they don't come in the world like that. You teach them that. You have to show them that. They don't get it out of a book. They're not prepackaged that way. You show them how to obey, and you show them through teaching and through corrective discipline. We have to show them that. And so when the passages talk about children, obey your parents, that's not just something that they mystically or magically start doing sometime. We show them from the very beginning what obedience is. The man is to rule his household. That is a qualification for an elder, but it's a qualification for every father. Among the fathers that are doing that, a man can be selected who's an elder. But it's not just a qualification for an elder. All of us are to rule our household. Turn over there to 1 Timothy 3. We're to rule our household. The Greek word is proistomai, which means to stand over and rule. And it's going to involve the teaching and the training and the guidance and the corrective discipline when the teaching is not followed. But look at it. One that ruleth well. Well, not just mediocre or not at all, but ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all seriousness. As a father, I have to have my children in subjection. Well, I just don't. I'm not going to do that kind of thing. She's going to have to do that. No, I'm shirking and slacking my responsibility. And it's a part of teaching, and it's a part of training. If a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If a guy's got his children and they're just running around like banshee wild Indians, you don't want him watching over the local church, because anything could go on. If anything can go on in his house, then anything's going to go on in the local church. But if someone can watch over that, we're not talking about a dictator or a tyrant, but in a loving way control that and watch over that, then they're a good person who can watch over the Lord's people. And so we have that responsibility as fathers. Okay? (Clears throat) let's see here. Let's look at our attitude real quick. Let's look at our attitude. Turn back with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 4. What is our attitude now as a father? Do we get up and we're mean and angry and we don't like doing this and we have a bad attitude toward fatherhood? What's our attitude? Just like the attitude of the husband toward the wife, there are always positive attitudes that are mentioned with the man, the woman, the children. Always, God wants the home to be happy and joyous and a positive atmosphere. So, number one, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. The Colossians passage says, so that they be not discouraged. It's not a provoking attitude. We're to be a loving father, as a father loves or pities his child. In Luke 11, Jesus said, "What man of you or what father of you, when his son asked for a fish, you give him a scorpion?" Who's going to do that? So a father is to be loving and caring and kind. What did the father of the prodigal do in Luke 15:20? What was he doing? Anybody? What was the father doing when the son was coming back? He was watching for him, and the text says he ran and he had compassion. So forgiving. If our children make mistakes, we're going to forgive them. Okay, if they come back and want to change, he had open arms there. He had compassion. Does the text also say that he kissed him and hugged him? I think that's also there as well. This is a very caring person. It's not just some harsh, mean, cruel ogre kind of a thing. He was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Forgiving. And then last of all, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 2:11. We commonly don't use this passage, but turn with me there. How did Paul deal with the brethren there at Thessalonica? Well, he compares himself to a father. Well, what is in that teaches us something about fathers. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 2:11. These are all positive attitudes that we need to have as a father. Somebody read that, please. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Okay. We dealt with each one of you as a father with his own children, exhorting you, encouraging you, and testifying. I believe Shannon's version had the word comforting. Exhorting, encouraging. This is a father who wants to encourage their children. There's times when we have to be forceful, and there's times when we have to be firm. With boundaries that have been laid down or the violation of those boundaries. But we also need to be a father who's loving and forgiving and encouraging. Okay? And we're not going to provoke them to wrath. Now, turn with me to Colossians 3:21. We don't talk about this much. You don't hear a lot of lessons about it. So I wanted to take a couple of slides and talk about it. Fathers, provoke not your children that they be not discouraged. What does that mean, anybody? Don't provoke your children. What does that mean? We don't do a lot of material on this. Don't do wrong against your children. Okay, it would include that. Anything else? Don't provoke your children. Could we be doing it and not knowing it?
Unnecessarily harsh.
Okay, unnecessarily harsh, okay.
Continue fault finding,
okay, good. That's continual criticizing, never encouraging. Dave, I think you had your hand up.
I was going to say, you know, in that, you never see any progress, you never give encouragement.
Right.
It's always just hard.
Right, right. First of all, let's talk about what it's not talking about. It's not talking about when I lay down some boundaries for the kids at home and they say, "Dad, you're discouraging me with these boundaries." It's not that. Or Dad, you know, I violated one of the rules at home and you gave me a spanking. You know, that's just really discouraging to me. You need to stop doing it. It's not talking about that. It's talking about things, that we shouldn't be doing. Tammy, did you? Okay. Resentful. Okay. When our children do what is wrong, we need to point that out. We need to teach that. We need to encourage them to make changes. We need to be waiting for them to make those changes. We can't be bitter against them, but don't take that as, you know, starting to condone what they're doing. We don't condone the wrong that they're doing, but we want them to make some changes. I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago that was the very thing in my brother's family, apparently, that led to the divorce, was my brother and his wife not seeing eye to eye on how to discipline an adult child or a young adult child in their early 20s. They were living an immoral life, and the two were not seeing eye to eye on how to solve that. And so we have to be very careful not to let the immorality of our children to cause me and my wife to have a problem. We have to be on the same page, and we have to pray about that and be mature about that and that type of thing. But yeah, we can't be bitter or resentful. Let's look at a few things. First of all, we might provoke our child by setting impossible goals that they physically or mentally cannot meet, and then punishing them for not meeting it. Sometimes we force a child to be an adult. We force them to grow up too quick, and when they don't do something that really it's more of an adult should be doing that, or at least an older child, then we punish them. That's not right. Playing favorites. I think about, you know, the 12 sons of Jacob and a respecter of persons, or playing favorites. Double standards where you set one rule for one child, but the other child, they should have the same rule, but they get different rules. You see, that type of thing. Unfavorable comparisons. Well, you need to be like your older sister or your whatever, that type of thing. We need to be careful about that. Refusing to reward their good. And some of y'all were talking about that. Withholding praise. They're never good enough, that type of thing. Constant negativity. We need to be negative, if you will, if we're punishing something that's wrong, or if we're saying to them, this is wrong behavior, and then the behavior, they've done that, they've broken that rule. We need to be firm about that. But we're just talking about even negative about things that aren't even of a moral nature, just constantly negative. Trying to live your life through them and forcing them to do or be what you want. And we're not talking about in areas of morality. I want my children in areas of morality to be what God wants, but we're just talking about opinions and just judgments and opinions. Let them, you know, live their life. It's not about what we want all the time, but forcing them to be like us in areas of opinion. Ignoring sincere questions or conversation. They want to come to us and talk with us about something. I don't have time for that. Breaking trust, or we promise them something and then we go back on our word. That could certainly provoke them or agitate them. Being absent from their lives. You know, I'm just not going to ever be around. Well, they grow up. Well, where's my dad? Where's my mom? And they're just frustrated because he's not there. Well, he's watching TV, or he's whatever. He's not around. It's just frustrating. And they have this inner turmoil as they grow up. Where's my mom? Where's my dad? They're gone. Unreasonable or inconsistent punishment, making light of their true problems. And you might be able to think of some other things. But because we don't talk about that part of the verse much, we just might not think about it. But fathers, mothers, be careful that we don't provoke our children in those kinds of ways or other kinds of ways. Are we a father figure? We'll close with this. Are we a father figure in their lives, or are we a father failure? In other words, we came together with someone and, you know, sexual intercourse, and now I have a baby on the way, but I'm really not going to be a father. Am I a failure, or am I a real figure and example to them? Some fathers are absent from their children's lives, or they're indifferent to their real needs. They're just losers. That's what they are. They have a soul, and when I say loser, I don't mean I don't care about them. I mean that they are not fulfilling God's word, and they're causing problems. And we've got a bunch of those. We don't need that in our lives. Some are too busy with their work or hobbies to care for their children. Some are unwilling to pay the price for godly fatherhood. Well, let somebody else do it. Oh, she'll do that, you know. Her parents will do that. You know, I'm just going to live my lazy life and not do that. Some are selfish and worldly. And what little they are around their children, they're just showing them how to be selfish and worldly. And then it just breeds itself over and over again. And so we have to be very careful about that kind of thing. So the lesson is yours. Appreciate your time and attention. We need to be good, godly fathers. We see so much of the other in the world. Let's not make that mistake for ourselves.